All right, we return with an outstanding guest. I'll ask you in advance for those dial changes. Don't turn the dial on this one or you'll miss something incredibly interesting and informative. Mark A. Simrod is joining us. He is the leader of the Baker Hostetler LLP's International Arbitration and Litigation Practice. He's the author of more than 30 publications and a frequent speaker on topics from his illustrious career, which includes many defense trials, but I'm not going to start listing them or enumerating them because we don't have the time. He was a special litigation counsel in the Civil Division of the Justice Department. I'm talking about a fabulously interesting book that I'm surprised hasn't been written earlier, but with the similarity of so many scandals going on today, this is probably a great time for it. The name of the book is Squeezing Silver, Peru's Trial Against Nelson Bunker Hunt. You remember the Hunt brothers? And Mark Simrod, it's spelled C-Y-M-R-O-T, is joining us. And Mark, welcome and congratulations. This is truly a fascinating story. Maybe you can just address the issue just quickly here. Why did you wait this long to write it?
Well, Stu, I have a full career of trials, and there's not a lot of time for writing, and so it took me a while to sit down and do it, and it took me a while to do it once I sat down, but that's basically it. I was trying other cases over the last 30 years.
Yeah, you're the lead lawyer of a group of younger lawyers representing Minpeco, and I'll ask you to talk about that. Against some of the most respected trial lawyers at all time. Tell us about this trial for those who haven't heard stories about the manipulation of the metals market. This is really quite a story. What were the events that brought this trial about, and give us an overall viewpoint of the essence of it?
All right. So the underlying events were 1979, 1980. Nelson Bunker Hunt and his brothers, so Texas oil billionaires, went into a deal with Saudi royalty. It was the brother-in-law of the then Crown Prince, later King Abdullah, and a number of other people to create a OPEC-style manipulation of silver. So they wanted to monopolize silver, and they drove silver prices from 6 up to 51, then they couldn't sustain it when the regulators stepped in and it crashed and created the first too-big-to-fail bailout that Paul Volcker engineered of the Hunt so that Merrill Lynch and Bache and some banks wouldn't fail. Minpeco was Peru's minerals agent at the time, had the monopoly on selling silver from Peru. They were convinced by Merrill Lynch also again and E.F. Hutton to hedge their position, which meant they had to pay nightly margin calls when the price started shooting up, and they lost $80 million in 10 days. The National Bank literally ran out of money to pay the margin, so they had to close their positions at a loss.
It certainly sounds like a really high-end clandestine case here, where a book is certainly apropos, but I think this would be one for a movie. As Hunt teamed up with some high-level people in terms of Saudi sheiks, et cetera, and manipulated these deals in different places. I mean, this seems like a story made for a movie. How were you able to track the process and bring up a case against them? I mean, this had to be really intensive.
Well, it was. What we decided to do was that we would track Bunker's movements for a 6 to 8 month period and then compare it to the trading and compare the trading of the people he met with. So we took credit card receipts, tax receipts. We subpoenaed hotel records. We had telephone records. And we just tracked them, and what it showed was at key times, Bunker met with a Brazilian billionaire, Naji Nahas, who was tied into the Middle East, and then they and Fustak and King Abdullah also would buy silver futures. And then in September of 1979 and December of 1979, they took delivery of bullion through the futures market where prices are determined. And that was a very unusual move, and it drove the price through the ceiling. So it was basically just basic detective work following the trail of the credit card receipts.
The significance of this is really great. I'd like to ask a kind of a two-part question here. I mean, I think wasn't this the creation of the now accepted term too big to fail when we saw what certainly happened in 2000, again, in a way, in 2008, and how our economy has suffered these manipulations. Look at George Soros. This was really, in a sense, the first one. What are the implications here in terms of what people can learn from your book? And what do you see, just very briefly, in terms of more of this going on? I mean, I just don't see how you can stop corruption.
Well, you probably can't stop corruption, but you can anticipate what could happen. So, for instance, in 1980, Paul Volcker saw that if Merrill Lynch and Bache failed, that there would be a chain reaction that would cause a number of banks to fail. In 2008, the same thing happened, and the government at the time decided not to bail out Lehman Brothers, and we had a great recession that went on for, as long, maybe until today, although the economy is doing pretty well right now. So I had Simon Johnson, who was chief economist to the IMF, take a look. And his question after reading it was, well, can it happen today? I mean, these are lessons that we need to learn about regulation. And
I wanted to jump right in. I'm glad you said that. I was just about to ask you with a minute or so to go here. What about regulatory failures? And is how do you create the balance between too much regulation and too little? I like Trump. Get rid of two, create one, and now it's get rid of more than two, and I think it's just loosened up the whole industry. But how far do you go?
Well, I'm a trial lawyer, not an economist or a politician. You got to have the story from the past to figure out the future, and if you don't learn the lessons of the past, you're going to repeat them. So I think that's a question for somebody else, but there clearly were regulatory failures in 79 and 80. The people who were supposed to be regulating were doing deals with the Hunts, and they held their hand when they should have acted, and there were many people. Minpeco was one victim, but there were many other victims at the time.
All right, Mark Simrock. Boy, I knew this would go fast. It's so interesting. Squeezing Silver, published by 12 Tables Press. Squeezing Silver, Peru's trial against Nelson Bunker Hunt. Please come back.